Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. Hope you guys have had a wonderful weekend and are all ready for the work week. Obviously, many of us had King Day off. Typically, we like to refer to it as a day on, not a day off, because we try to encourage people to do some form of service, community service, or something on that day. I was lazy this year. I did reach out to an organization about donating some clothing, some shoes, some other products that I had in my apartment that did not make the move. You know, I went through my closet and did that dreadful purge that we all hate. But the reality is, so many of us have things gently used, brand new, or just things that we've maintained for a number of years, a number of seasons, that just don't fit our lives anymore. And, you know, we push things to the back of the closet and we say, I'm going to get back into it. I'm going to slim down. This is going to come back into style. All of these things, anything to just hold on to a garment or some other item. And I just decided to let a lot of that go, because the reality is, I may or may not get back into a size 32, and I don't foresee it happening anytime soon. So while I have these clothes, I am fortunate, I am blessed to be in a position where if I do happen to get back into a size 32 again, I can buy more clothes. But right now, these items are sitting here, they're not being used. I might as well give them to a cause that could make some use of them. So that's what I did. I reached out to an organization that my cousin told me about that accepts donations. I probably came up with, I would say, 20, 25 pairs of pants that either I no longer wear, can't wear, you know, things. Some things are brand new. Some things are gently used. Some things are, I did throw away some things. Some things are just, you know, I've repurchased an item and I don't want to wear this item anymore because maybe it's a little faded. It's a little, you know, a little more used than I would like. So I'm going to give them away, but they're still good quality things. And that's a tangent, but I just wanted to say that. So I didn't have a traditional day on, because I didn't actually physically do something like go out and serve the homeless or anything like that. But I did reach out to an organization about when they accept donations. So I feel good about that. Other than that, I just relaxed. I just chilled. I wasn't with you last week, and that is because I had my first guest, which was my dad, which was really, really great. It was just awesome to have him here. It was awesome to have someone else here in the home, but it was awesome to have him here so he can see it, and we could walk around and we could talk, and he can do what dads do and inspect things and ask questions and say, what are you going to do with this, and how about this? And, you know, he had an opportunity to show me things. And I think parents never lose that. What my father always says is, I understand that you're adult, but I'm still your father, you know. And it's, you know, there are still things that I have left to teach you and show you. And, you know, for him to say, oh, this is kind of how you set up your schedule on your thermostat, you know, this is how you adjust the temperature, was really, really cool and a good moment for us just to kind of talk. And, you know, he was obviously, you know, proud that he can be in this moment. You know, he prayed over the safety, the continued safety of my home. And it was just a really good feeling. And so that's why I wasn't here, because when I wasn't working, I was spending time with him. He made lunch and one day. And, you know, we took that time. I normally never take a lunch, but since he was here, he was like, I normally eat lunch at 1. So I set aside that time in my day to just sit and chat with him and catch up and talk about, you know, work and family and, you know, all of those things that you miss when you're away. But I'm using this as a segue. My dad was here because my youngest brother moved to Dallas, Texas. So two sons out of the nest completely, which is really, really exciting. As a big brother, I'm extremely, extremely proud. But because I look at my brothers as like my babies, I know that sounds crazy. They're grown men. They're 26 and they're 23. But I look at them as my babies because I literally, before they were born and then when they were born, and, you know, seeing them grow up is crazy. And I've spent 17 years of my life in Atlanta. So I have spent the majority of their lives away. You know, yes, I went home for holidays, but, you know, living in the same house and, you know, we didn't necessarily grow up together. We're 9 and 12 years apart. So there's a part of me that's extremely excited and extremely proud. And then there's also a part of me like, but he's my baby, you know, but I'm really excited about his journey and him figuring things out on his own. I think it's amazing. One thing I can say about my brother is if he says he's going to do something, if he puts his mind to something, it's going to happen. And moving to Texas, moving to Dallas specifically was something that was on his radar, something he wanted to do. And I think he found out a little bit before the Christmas holiday that he had gotten a transfer that he had put in for because he was working with the company and they have operations in, you know, across the country, but specifically in Dallas. He put in transfer and he got it. And so it was pretty fast after that. It was the week of Christmas he found out. And then that following weekend, he and my dad were driving to Dallas. So they left Detroit and went to Memphis, which is about, I think, a 10-hour drive. And then they left from Memphis and went to Dallas, which I think is an additional 6 hours. They drove separate cars because Jamal's car wasn't big enough to, you know, carry all his things. And my dad has this thing about hitching vehicles. So they drove separate cars. And then my dad spent, you know, a couple of days there getting Jamal settled. And then he drove here on Monday. And because everybody's working remotely, which is probably the greatest gift that we could ever ask of, because we have the flexibility to do those things. I mean, I didn't do any of it this year, but I'm thinking, like, I could legitimately not be in my home and be on a beach. And as long as I have a solid internet connection, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, would it be great to just wake up every morning for a couple of days to a view and just work from the view? And I'm not a huge beach person in terms of, like, I don't need to be in the sand, but if I could see the water from, like, the balcony and do work, I might get into that. So I don't know what 2021 has in store for me in terms of working remotely from somewhere else in the country, but possibly. But nonetheless, he was here and we spent time together and it was really, really good. Just kind of catching up, you know, talking about the home. Because there's so much of the process that you miss when you are not in the same space or same place. But I said all that to say, the segue and the inspiration for this week's episode is somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's always watching you. It's interesting because I have to be reminded of these things because, again, I've spent so much time away from my brothers. But I kind of had a conversation with my dad today because we were talking about the King family. And he said, and I was saying, you know, I don't envy the King family. Speaking of Martin Luther King Jr.'s children, I don't envy the King family because there was an expectation set for each of them. There was this ideal that they would follow suit, that they would do something, you know, along the lines of what their father did, that they would be great. And not to say that they didn't have those level of aspirations for themselves, but it's just a lot of pressure. And he said, well, I hope you understand that. I hope you feel that. I hope you get it, you know? And I was like, get what? He was like, you know, that, you know, you're a reflection of the Holly name. You're a reflection of me. And I said, it's my greatest burden. And he was like, I'll not take that. You know, I don't know if I should say yay or, you know, I should be offended or whatever the case is. And I think it just goes to the point that, you know, I understand and I've understood for a very, very long time that my actions are not my own, that somebody is always watching me and that I could do something that could negatively or adversely affect my family name or my brothers. And that's a large burden. And part of creating this podcast was stepping away from that. And I know that I've said that in the past, but to the point of somebody's always watching you, you know, being away from my brothers, I remember them having like different projects. And it's like, hey, Philip, can you send me a postcard from Georgia? Because I'm collecting postcards from family members across the country. And I would, you know, do something like that. Or I would come home and, you know, we're cleaning up and I come across a project and someone says, you know, one of my brothers, I don't know if it was Jordan or Jamal, I think they both have done a project very similar of, you know, who's your inspiration? And it's like, it's my big brother, because he went off to college and he has his own job and he drives a car and, you know, all those things. And you forget about those things. But I was reminded when I was talking to my youngest brother and I was saying, you know, I'm super proud of you. And his response was, just following after you. And I'm like, yeah, wow. You know what I'm saying? I going off to college, yes, it was important, but I didn't, you know, as a 17-year-old, I didn't necessarily at that age realize that that was so impactful. I guess until my middle brother was like, oh, I think I want to go to Morehouse. Ultimately, he decided not to go to Morehouse, but he did apply. He did get in. So it was at least a possibility. And obviously, I had some type of impact or influence on that. But just to be reminded that people are looking at you. They look at what you do and they're either inspired by it or they're turned off by it. And they say, okay, I'm going to do the exact opposite of that because of the outcome it yields. And it really rings true about the world that we live in, the country that we live in, that we had someone in office who had a lot of power, had a lot of influence over people, their actions, their words, their minds. And we got to a place where in a country where we speak so boldly and so proudly about it being a democracy and people having freedom of speech and the space to disagree, because that's what a democracy is, that the vote matters and that the vote counts, that we find ourselves in a situation that when democracy was enacted or acted upon and when the outcome was not favorable to a certain or a specific group of people, the response and how their response, which was a revolt, it was called a revolt, it was called a revolution for some people, it was an insurrection. It was literally taking over a federal building. And how the response was, oh, well, you know, people have a right to be upset. Do they really? Do they really? Do they really have a right to be upset? Because they just lost an election. That's it. They just lost a couple of seats. And they no longer have power. And so their response to no longer having power is tantrum. But when you are part of a political party and you follow somebody and you listen to somebody and you see that that's how they respond to things, they respond to things in the form of a tantrum, in the form of a rant. That's what the former president of the United States would do. If someone said something that he didn't like, he responded in the form of a tantrum, in the form of a rant via social media. And he said countless things that incited violence and terror, domestic violence and terror upon fellow citizens of this country when he has a responsibility or had a responsibility to protect every single citizen, not just one group of people, be it Republican, be it rich, be it white, be it whatever, be it conservative, whoever it is, you know, he had a responsibility to all people. And, you know, that whole stand by and stand watch, whatever, just telling them to be vigilant. Like, it was all planned. It was all set up because there had to be some feeling that he was going to lose the election and that there's a possibility that the GOP would lose control of the Senate, and it was a possibility that the GOP would lose control of Congress. And so you just have all these people waiting to act on a certain thing, and they got it honestly because they literally watched this man for 4 years say whatever it is he wanted to say, didn't care about it being politically correct or presidential, did what he wanted to do, didn't care about how it looked to the people of this country or the leaders of other countries or people of other countries. Anytime a president loses an election and other world leaders cheer, you know, they have adulation and great gratitude and appreciation for the fact that they no longer have to work with this particular individual, that should say something. So people are watching. Other countries have watched. other world leaders have watched, and people have minimized or, you know, mitigated their relationships with us as a country because of the person that we collectively, not me individually, and probably not many of my listeners, but, or many of my co-hosts, I should say, but we collectively as a country chose that person. And then even after all of the things that we went through, 70 plus million people still chose that again. And so it's just an interesting place to be in. And so it's just a reminder that somebody is always watching, someone is always listening, and they are being inspired to do good or to do evil, based on what it is that they see, you know? But to pivot and make it more positive, there are benefits to that. And I am an advocate of people living their own lives and living their own truths. And by no stretch of the imagination, I'm saying not be yourself and not do what it is that you feel is necessary for you to do in order to live a fullness of life that you're entitled to, because we're all entitled to that, to live a life of fullness, a life of our own. But just be careful. Just be careful. Be mindful that somebody is watching. And I think we've seen it countless times in film. You know, art imitates life. You know, that whole thing. Life imitates art. Ooh, all of my thespian friends are going to get on me. Either way. We have seen what positive influence can do, what negative influence can do. And we've seen it work both ways. A person can see something positive and go for it. A person can see something negative and go for it, but a person could also see something negative and decide to do the opposite thing. But it's the same thing with positive. I could see somebody doing the right thing and decide that I don't want that life because it's too hard. It's why go to college when I can do this thing? That may or may not be legal, but definitely more lucrative. So, I mean, there's these balances always in terms of the scale, but in the world that we live in now, and I think that things have the potential to get better, but they're not going to get better overnight. You know, it's what we learned about credit. It what takes you a couple of bad decisions to create a bad credit situation, it takes you years to clean it up because of interest, compounding interest, you know? You probably swiped your car 3 times and put yourself in a situation where it's going to take you 3 to 5 years to rectify that because you aren't in a situation to pay it all off at the end of the month. So that means you got interest, and that interest keeps compounding, and then that means that the total is changing, the balance is changing, and so now we're compounding on top of that, and it's just cyclical. And so, you know, I think that it's important to make sure that we are making, again, living our lives for ourselves, but being mindful that somebody's always watching. Somebody always looking over your shoulder. Someone's always checking your work. And, you know, you could be inspiring and influencing great things, or you could be inspiring and or influencing insurrections and acts of treason. Those aren't a laughing matter. I'm just using, you know, I'm literally saying that because it is laughable that the actions which occurred on that day were not treated as, you know, not coined, not titled as acts of insurrection or treason, that they weren't coined or titled riots, you know, but it was looked at, oh, this is a revolt, we're doing positive things, you know, we're enacting on our rights to protest when we don't feel things have been fair or adequate, you know. And it's not just those people, it's it's the Senate and Congress leaders that serve those people as well, that incite that type of that attitude, that it's taken this long for people to openly admit that the election that occurred in November was fair and free of fraud, and that Donald Trump just lost. He just lost. So thankfully for our country, there were about 3 to 4 million more people on the side of this just doesn't make any sense. You know, whether they were Republican or what, even whether they were racist, you know, just people who just could not find it in their hearts to reelect this man who has enacted such terror in this place that's supposed to be free. You know, I don't know what a Joe Biden presidency holds for the United States of America, but I certainly hope that it is better than what we've had to deal with the last 4 years. I certainly hope that. Anyway, that's all I got today. It's a brief one. I don't have much to talk about. I want to remain consistent, you know. And now I'm in this space and it's totally quiet here, and I'm in my office and I get an opportunity to just kind of sit down and woosah, you know, take a breather before I start the day. And it's still the best part of my Tuesday, and I plan on continuing to do more things, inviting people on, you know, just getting to it. I will say that the last 2 months has been a whirlwind, closing and moving and all that good stuff like that. And so now I feel a little more settled. Still got some things to do around the house, but I feel a lot more settled now. And so I can focus on really trying to plan out the season, because I've never really done a good job of that. And I want to, because I believe that the people who listen week after week, my loyal co-hosts, deserve that. They deserve, you know, me not necessarily flying by the seat of my pants, which has become a lot more challenging now. You know, the first season it was easy to do that, but now I really have to sit down and be a little bit more thoughtful about what I'm going to talk about, so that I don't find myself rambling or going off, you know, off kilter, or find myself so overwhelmed that I don't really have much to talk about, that I don't talk at all. And that's no good for either the co-host or myself. So continue to tune in. Continue to send me ideas. I encourage people who are listening to the show to say, hey, I thought about this. I ran across this article, or I saw this program, and I'm curious to what you think about it. I would be more than willing to hear those. And please send me if you have my personal information, send me a text message, or, you know, send me a message on the IG page, which is Popping Off with Phil, or, you know, however you can get in contact with me. If you can email me, if you know my email address — I'm not giving any of that stuff out, but I'm just saying, if you know my email address, or if we're connected on any other social media platform, which for me really is just Facebook and IG, just, you know, shoot me a message and say, hey, Bill, I was thinking about this. What do you think about this? Or what are your thoughts on this? And maybe you can share it on the show. And I will be more than willing to do that, because it would definitely help me with the planning of things. So anyway, continue to like, continue to share, continue to post. Most importantly, continue to rate, because those things make a difference. The hope is that, you know, I know I got to do some work on my end, and a friend has gotten on me about this, so I will shout out to Chris about monetizing. And so that's something that I really need to think about, and create a plan, you know, definitely before the next season starts, because believe it or not, in April we will be going into our fourth season of Popping Off with Phil. Like, that's crazy that this thing that was just a thought, that was kind of birthed really in Chicago back in 2018, back in February of 2018, not too far off from this point right now, where this was birthed, where Popping Off with Phil was actually given birth, like the actual name. And here we are about to go into a fourth season in April of 2021. So that's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But anyway, I'm going to let you guys go. I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. I love y'all for real. Peace.